This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Wow, Andy. You are officially a recapper.
I'm a recapper.
How does that make you feel?
Not good.
Dear Shandy. Welcome back to another Dear Shandy Golden Bachelor recap, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm sheared.
You are sheared. We already announced this.
Yeah. Although I did, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that I said that my shearer was Tyler.
At Valiant. In Seattle
on Mercer Street. But there are two Tylers. So I want to be clear. It is Tyler Arnaldi who did this.
It's so cute. I think it's so cute. You had such a great haircut experience that you were like, I'm going to give this guy a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah. Good work deserves recognition.
Yes. That is a great haircut.
Why, thank you.
You were actually the biggest takeaway. This is very Andy, is you were sad that you don't live here and you can't just go to him regularly. You found a way to look at it.
The glass is always half empty.
Yes. Okay. So shall we get going recapping episode 5 of Golden Bachelor?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so we pick up with an empty mansion on the inside because outside in the pool, the women are singing and playing. They're doing this dance. Andy, you said that this was a Jewish song.
Yeah, they were singing some Jewish song.
That's so nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes. I love watching them spend time together and just be friends with each other.
It's great. They really like each other. I think they're going to be lifelong friends.
I hope so. We hear Ellen say the younger generation misses out on games, fun games like hopscotch, because their faces are buried in their phones.
I mean, that's true.
I agree with her.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun out there in the world to be had.
Yeah. I will say hopscotch in particular is before my time.
Yeah. Hopscotch. They made the mistake of making too old timey an example.
Yeah.
So they just sounded curmudgeonly. But it's true. I mean, the statement is true. But I don't think it's hopscotch is the alternative to being on your phone. Yeah. It's not like either hopscotch or buried in your phone. To be honest, between those two, I take buried in my phone any day.
Yeah, but we get the idea. Fun games. Games. Yeah. Okay. So meanwhile, inside we are shown Faith alone eating strawberries with whipped cream.
Good for her.
I wrote respect.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a very respectable snack to be having at home. Although later on, we see the women still in this scene, the pool scene, while Faith is on her helicopter date. Yeah. So I actually think that they tried to suggest that Faith was more of a loner and feeling more left out and just down than she actually was. Yeah. I'm just pointing that out. Mm. Okay. So Jesse arrives and announces that next week is hometowns and there will only be 3.
Why is it 3?
I think because everything's fewer. It started out with fewer people. Like it started out with 22 women instead of the usual 25 to 30. And the whole season feels short. Mm. I mean, for us to be going to hometowns week 6. Normally that happens week 8.
Okay.
I think it makes sense, honestly.
It kind of affected my OCD. Like I can't, 3 is not split evenly in 2 parts.
Yeah.
So I'm not good with that.
Oh, I think it's cute that it bothered you as much as it did. You were really hung up on that. But personally, I think it's right. Yeah. Like I think it's weird for him to make Gary go through. I mean, he probably knows who he's picking already. Let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
He might pretend he doesn't, or we might hear voiceovers of him saying he's in love with 3 women, but I just really think that Gary probably has a very strong idea of who he's picking.
I agree.
With his life experience, and so I just don't think anyone's time needs to be wasted with an extra pointless hometown. Jesse says there will be a once in a lifetime one-on-one, and Faith looks like she might pass out when she hears this. It turns out it is indeed for her, and it's cute how the women are so excited for her.
They're legitimately excited. You can tell. It's not fake.
No.
They're jumping for joy.
Yes. Teresa's like, you can tell Teresa and Faith are really tight, first of all. And even Susan's like, like everyone loses it for Faith. It's so sweet.
Can I just tell you, these women are living their best lives.
They really are. So Faith, on this one-on-one, Gary drives over in a vintage Ford Bronco. Andy, you pointed out that all the cars are vintage on this season.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's nice. That's obvious.
To be honest, I truly hadn't noticed until you pointed it out.
It's okay.
I don't notice.
You're not a car person.
I'm not, but I really
like that too. You don't like cars. I mean, you don't dislike cars. You just are not into like cars. You don't care. It's just a method of transportation.
Yeah, I really, unless it's a spectacular car, but oftentimes I'm like, oh, it's a little ostentatious. Yeah.
You know what I've noticed? You really like Nissans. Every time you're like, oh, that's a nice car. I'm like, that's a Nissan.
Really?
No, you're into Nissans.
I don't know if I agree with this.
I think I might be bad-mouthing you. I'm not sure it's true.
Why? It's just for no reason.
Maybe it was a Mazda. It was some car that wasn't that great, but it was cute. It was like every time you see one, you're like, oh, that's a nice car. I'm like, oh, it's fine.
I just like shape and color.
Yeah. Your aesthetics are impeccable. I cannot argue with you. So whatever you say is true.
I got to say, Gary seems like a good driver. They have a shot of him driving there and he's like checking his blind spot.
Oh, he's amazing. And you notice how he goes into the tunnel, he takes his shades off. Oh, he's smooth.
I do that.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, you don't do that?
No, I just risk it.
Remind me to pay attention to that next time I'm in the passenger seat. Yeah. He drives her to a helicopter. And of course, we hear now that she's afraid of heights.
Oh,
Badonk.
Go figure.
They fly over the Bachelor Mansion. And here we see that shot I mentioned with the ladies all in the pool. And they land on a yacht, which I have to admit is pretty cool.
You know what's just even more cool is that those pilots can just like be like, oh, there's a boat in the middle of the ocean. I'm going to land a helicopter on it.
I think to be a helicopter pilot is to be very cool.
Oh, yeah. It's a very cool... A helicopter is one of the coolest things mankind has ever created. You know, it's based on a dragonfly. They were looking at dragonflies and they used that, you know, the mechanics of a dragonfly's wings to think about how a helicopter could work. Anyway, that's not important. The point is that is basically a giant drone that you are just flying in. There's no thrust.
You serious? They thought of a dragonfly?
Yeah, there's a 5 to 10% chance I'm talking shit here.
I think you're talking about Dune.
Dune?
Yeah, because the helicopter in Dune looks like a giant dragonfly.
Yeah, but that's probably based on the fact that they built helicopters based on dragonflies. It's all coming full circle.
So they land on the yacht, they toast with champagne, we get the kiss with the helicopter flying off in the background, all the good Bachelor stuff. Mm-hmm. And back at the mansion now, Leslie is shown having a hard time. So when that helicopter was flying over, most of the women were like, oh, there they are. Wish that was us, whatever. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, Leslie, it seems to stick with her. And she says in her ITM, maybe I'm taking it harder because my past relationships haven't been very secure. I wrote, wow, self-awareness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know how much reflection it takes to be like, oh, it could be me. This is landing harder with me because of what I've been through. Not just like, that happened to me. They did that. Usually people point outside of themselves.
The normal bachelor.
You mean the abnormal?
No, this is the normal.
Okay. I feel like that joke we made early on, it just hasn't been worth it.
No, it hasn't been landing.
No. Yeah, it just feels like Leslie definitely seems to be struggling more with this than most. Yeah. And it seems to line up with her relationship history as we got to know more about her.
Yeah, she said she's a bad picker.
Yeah, bad picker. Later on, she says she's been cheated on a lot. Yeah. You can see how this environment would be really triggering with a lifetime of experience.
Yeah.
You know, usually a 25-year-old in this situation is bothered by it, but it almost feels like part of the reason they're bothered by it is just because maybe society has told them to be bothered by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Leslie, it really lands. I really feel her struggle with it. So on the date, Faith said that they've had something from day one. I gotta say, throughout this whole conversation, I was like, try not to do the I'm not like the other girls thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think she did. Yeah. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah. A little.
She's the only one who does this, where she's like, you notice how everyone else did that, but I did this.
She rubs me wrong a little bit, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
A little bit. Just the lightest rubbing wrong.
Yes, it's the lightest of wrong just rubbing.
It's incredible. It's like when you're ever sitting on a bus or like a train or some kind of public transportation or a plane.
Yeah.
And someone's knee is touching your knee. but it's touching it in a way where you're like, that's not good compared to other knees that have touched my knee in that same situation. There's something not good about
it. I'm going to be honest. I never want someone else's knee touching my knee.
I don't want to touch my knee either, but there are certain knee touches that are worse than other knee touches. That's all I'm saying. And her knee touch is not one of the good ones.
Harsh.
No, it's not harsh because knee touches is at the bottom of the totem pole of things that annoy me physically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's she's the worst of the least bad.
Yeah. And you know, we are working with so little. Like it almost feels like the powers that be have inserted certain things that she said on purpose because we've gotten so little from all of this one-on-one time with anyone. So why do we have two examples of Faith doing the I'm not like the other girls thing, which I'm crediting our Shandys with labeling because it's just something I've pointed out and that I haven't liked, but they're the ones who've been like, she's doing this specific
thing.
To be honest though, this is a really lovely date. He says that it's the soft look in her eyes. So he agrees they've had something since day one. They get talking about her music and she reveals that she had a rough childhood and music was what soothed her.
Sounds like she had a really rough go.
Yeah.
Like she said, I think she said she was living on the streets.
Yeah. Something about not having a mom and dad. And she said the trauma of all that has stayed with her and has bled over into her choices with men. And she thinks that she has been attracted to dysfunction. I mean, this is extremely humanizing, I gotta say. Like, in hearing Faith's backstory, I, to be honest, I would have liked more.
Yeah.
It almost felt like she felt she had limited time and needed to get it all out really fast. And I couldn't tell if this was edit or if she was just like, I finally have time with you. I'm going to tell you my whole backstory and here it all is. Like, I'm laying it all out there so you know who I am. Blah, blah, blah. It felt kind of like panicked like that. Gary, I mean, he handles this really, really well. He's not afraid of being someone's rock. Can I say that?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
He's
a rock.
I mean?
He's always the rock.
Yeah, it feels like this is a role he's played a lot in his life and he has no issues with it. She says that he's something she's never had in her life and expresses fears about being really vulnerable. He says, just as she got in that helicopter, despite her fear of heights, she has to surrender to this. He gives her the rose.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the fact that he was okay with being her rock in this and told her to surrender to this experience despite all her fears and gave her that rose in that context, Faith is back in the running.
Oh, yeah. This is what I'm going to say about Faith. I have always said that bachelorettes have very good first impression roses.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just have better first impressions. Like guys are just like, ooh, she looks nice. And then, you know, they just move on to something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that in the Golden Bachelor, because of the age and the generation, I actually think that the male lead, will be more similar to the bachelorette lead in their first impressions. If anything, he's more bachelorette in his first impression than the bachelorette leads.
I mean, you're telling me this. I'm the one who put Faith first based on that alone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
we didn't have this discussion.
Yes,
I didn't know
we
that.
Did.
Oh, we did.
When we said our predictions for episode one, I said that I feel like Gary of all people would
you did
be able
say
to
that.
Pick
you
his
did say
number
okay,
one.
So I'm just stealing the thing you said.
Yeah,
and I'm saying it more forcefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. I will say Gary is extremely
mercurial.
Ooh, Andy, mercurial. I'll give you that.
No, not me.
I was going to go with hard to read.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
better.
He's easy to read and sometimes it's like I feel like the final three, I don't even know.
You know what the problem with Gary is? He's so kind and gentle and open to everybody that you get confused.
Yes.
Like he loves everybody.
Yeah, and if I were a woman on his season, I would probably think it's me.
Yeah.
Like in a way... And it's a sick and twisted way. Like he's the best bachelor ever.
Totally. And in a really, really sick and twisted way, he's the meanest bachelor ever. Too soon.
So they make out in the hot tub and in his ITM, Gary says that she could be the one. And Andy, this is where you and I, without even making eye contact, we both went, It was not planned.
No.
Yeah.
It was a little surprising.
I've said this before in other seasons, some abnormal seasons, But I really feel that with Faith, if Faith is the eventual winner, I think we needed more snippets.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. We needed more one-on-one time because to me, even though she got the first impression, Rose, a lot about this date came out of nowhere to me.
I agree. It's possible that production has been hiding her in the edit because it's been too obvious. That's what I always think with these. Like you often see these dark horses where you're like, I haven't seen anything of this person and suddenly they won.
Yeah.
And you're like, that had to be intentional.
Yes.
So I think it's possible that Faith is one of those people where they were like, okay, this is getting too obvious. Let's just no Faith for a while. Let's get Teresa in the mix. Let's get Ellen in the mix. You know.
And then the snippets they do show of Faith are just her, of her being like, I'm not like the other girls.
Right. And they're trying to make her almost look bad. Maybe it's working. We're kind of like, into Faith.
We're falling for it.
We're suckers. We're just pawns in the game of Bachelor.
Yeah, maybe we are. Yeah. Recappers. We're just part of the
That's it.
The machine.
That's it.
Okay.
Got to accept it.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It's okay. Just accept it. Let it go.
I'm having a free will issue.
You still have free will. You can do things.
Really?
Just not in Bachelor.
Once this recap's over, I can live my life again. Yeah.
Go get a drink, water, orange juice, coffee, whatever you want. It's you making the choice.
Okay, so now it's the evening. The ladies are speculating about their group date, what they might end up doing. Susan says, maybe they'll go floating on the water in a yacht.
Mm.
Cue Faith. Faith returning from her date.
Nostradamus Susan.
And she proceeds to tell them all about her date, but she does preface with saying, do you guys really want to hear this? They're like, what did you do? And she's like, you don't even want to hear this.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we do. And she's like, are you sure? And
it's like, okay.
So she describes the helicopter ride, the landing on the yacht, and there's a money shot of Faith animatedly describing the charcuterie and the hot tub, and we zoom in on Leslie's face, her terse face.
Oh, she's not happy.
Next to
She doesn't
Faith.
Like anything, not the charcuterie, not the yacht, nothing.
I gotta say, I found Faith ever so slightly gloaty.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm coming. I really like Faith. There's nothing not to like.
Honestly, I wouldn't come at her because there have been several gloating issues this season. And I think it's okay. I think there's a lot of trust amongst the cast. And they just kind of feel like they can gloat with impunity.
With impunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Ellen in her ITM be like, okay, we didn't need that many details.
Yeah.
And Ellen, I will say, I trust Ellen implicitly.
I do trust Ellen. Yeah. I think Faith was gloating a little bit, but so is Teresa.
This is one of those situations like, do you really want to hear? And they're like, yeah. And she's like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah. And it's exactly as you demonstrated, Andy. I think she was like, okay, well, here's every single detail. And she might have shared one too many.
Huh.
It's a fine line.
Yeah, you're right. You know who didn't gloat at all was Susan. Just said she had a nice time.
Oh, Susan. I mean, she had to be asked about her crystal. I don't think she was volunteering it to anyone.
Yeah.
Her crystal.
Her crystal that Kathy was very upset about.
Shove that crystal up your ass. Okay, before we move on, I have to point out that Faith said, I got the rose, which means I've got a hometown. Like, did she have to say that?
She didn't have to say that. Didn't have to say that. You're right. She was gloating.
She said, we saw it come out of her mouth.
It was too much.
Yeah. She's like, I got the rose, which means I've got a hometown. She's saying this to the women who half of them will not get that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just pointing it
out. Now, let me ask you a question. If the answer to her question was, no, we don't want you to tell us about the date. Everyone's like, no, don't tell us. You think she'd be like, well,
no,
she would have not told it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then fine.
So they got what they asked for.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think that there's always an undercurrent in that situation where it's like, yeah, we want to hear about it, but like...
Not that much.
Yeah, we're being polite.
Yeah, it's like when you run into someone in the street that you're not that close with at all. It's like an acquaintance you see and you're like...
such a good example.
You're like, how are you doing? They're like, well... And you're like, oh, crap.
It's like, well, you asked.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's the group date. The ladies meet Gary at the Santa Monica Pier Carnival.
Yeah.
Where I feel like we've been many times, but never actually gone into the carnival, Andy.
No, I always something. I don't know what it is. I don't get a good feeling around the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh.
I have bad associations with it.
Wait, how come?
I don't know. Every time I'm there, I'm not in a good mood.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been there several times. And every time I'm just like, I'm not feeling good today. And maybe it's the Santa Monica Pier.
Okay, you're blaming the pier.
I don't think I like carnivals.
You don't like carnivals.
Yeah.
But I like the games at carnivals.
I don't mind the games either.
That's why we like the game Carnival Games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is
we
a great,
really do play carnival games.
I together. Love video games where there's basically one button. That's it.
Yeah. And that's why you love carnival games. It's just the timing of A.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what I don't like?
What?
Is rides. Don't like carnival rides.
Yeah.
Don't want any part of them.
Well, because you feel like you're going to die.
I feel like I'm going to die. I feel a little nauseous. I don't feel like the risk reward is satisfying.
You know, I think there's something to that. I will say I prefer a ride at a real amusement park, like a Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like Space Mountain. I don't think I'm going to die on Space Mountain.
Right. I want to go to like a very corporate park.
Yeah,
to do
I want to go
rides.
To a park that is not removable.
Yeah. I don't want a park where the guy running the ride is some guy they just found like wandering around.
Yeah.
I want it to be like official and a Disney employee who's like, hi, my name is Joe and I'm the ride operator today.
I want the ride that I ride to have been built or is being manned by someone who has a salary and is not being paid by the hour.
And I want a team, a battery of lawyers to be checking everything. They're like, well, you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. You're like, okay, we'll get on it.
Okay. So they play whack-a-mole and Andy, you said, I love whack-a-mole.
Now that's a game I can get behind.
So would you say whack-a-mole is your favorite carnival game?
My favorite carnival game is throwing the baseball at the bottles. I was a pitcher in high school.
Oh, wow. That's your favorite game?
No, but also whack-a-mole. Oh, I also like hitting the hammer that makes the thing go up.
Yeah.
Although now they have these things where it's not about how hard you hit it. It's like how accurate you hit it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is a very 2023 thing. Like, come on. It's the hammer game. You want to hit it hard. Let us hit it hard.
Do you know my favorite carnival game?
Yeah. You like the thing where you squirt the water in the thing?
That's my second favorite.
Oh, wait. You like...
It's time for you to prove how well you know me, Andy. I'm ready. Here we go.
Oh, I thought it was the water squirting. Let me think about this for a second. Oh, it's the claw game. You like the...
No!
No. No one likes that. No one likes that.
There's going to be a fight after this recap.
Sorry, that was a mistake. That was a mulligan. I'm going to take that one again. Oh, of course I know. You like the one where you roll the ball into the circles, the concentric circles.
Good job.
Yeah. What is that called? Ski ball?
Oh, there is a ski ball one where you roll balls into the circles.
I think it's called
ski ball. But no, it's the one with the horses. It's not a big ball. It's a little ball. And it goes up into, you have to aim it into different holes and then your horse runs across. It's one of the games they played.
Oh, that's a variation of what I'm talking about.
Oh, so you actually didn't get it?
Oh,
you
man.
Said ski ball.
I should have just kept my mouth shut. I almost had you.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah, I was wrong.
I feel unseen.
You love ski ball. You love skee ball. Every single time there's skee ball anywhere, you're like, we got to play skee ball.
Okay. Anyway, I want to know the name of the game I'm talking about. So if anyone
knows, no name.
Please let me know.
There's definitely no name for it.
I think there's a name.
It's just a combination of two different carnival games.
Okay, here we get Word Watch 1. It's Teresa saying, the last time I told a man I loved him was my husband. Was sort of a surprising.
A sad Word Watch.
Oh.
I mean, it is sad.
I mean,
isn't it sad?
It doesn't have to be seen in a sad way.
You're right. It could be. It's also not. Wait, no, I think it's sad.
Okay. Okay, so Teresa has one-on-one time first. In her ITM, she says it's been 52 years since she's told a man she was falling in love.
Wow.
And with Gary, she lays it all out there. She says it never clicks like this for her. She can't live without him now. She's falling in love. And he says he's incredibly touched. Yes, they're compatible. He agrees. And Andy, you and I were both struck here at how it felt like he's not into her.
Yeah.
But I mean, she ends up getting a rose at the rose ceremony.
It didn't feel right. Something was off. You know, I think he was getting sick of this.
Of the whole
he
thing.
He was just done.
Yeah, there came a point where, Andy, you were like, Gary's tired.
He's tuckered out.
Tuckered
too much carnival,
out.
Too much bachelor, too much telling women how much he cares about them and listening. I mean, he's been basically what Gary has been doing is one never-ending therapy session.
Yeah.
Like he's a therapist and he's like, he never clocks out. It's like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. That's the end of my day. He's just like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. Here's another patient.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Here's another patient. Oh, it's 2 a.m. You got 2 more.
Well, it's a good point because we are shown a lot of one-on-one time. Here's one-on-one time with all 5 women on this date. And they got started after the sun was already down,
yeah.
I have to point out. And it felt like some of this one-on-one date was like mini one-on-one date time.
There were like 4 mini one-on-ones.
Yeah, like
he's
some of them
tired.
Were going on rides
The man
together.
Is 72 years old.
Yeah.
He's been at the carnival all day having to pour his heart out to different women who he may not like that much.
Gary in his ITM says that Teresa's such a sweet person. They all are.
Yeah, all of them. All of those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like asking a waitress. You're like, oh, what's good on the menu? It's like, oh, everything's good. Like, what are we doing here? Just tell me what you like.
Yeah, this threw me off the Teresa scent, I will say. I was really like, I just wasn't buying it. I wasn't buying that he can't live without her.
Yeah, I didn't get that feeling
either. Just based
either.
On the body language feeling. And the wording and everything. Like, him adding, they all are. They're all sweet.
Yeah,
to me, you don't say that when you're talking about your favorite person.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we get a montage of one-on-one time with each Sandra and Susan, but everyone knows that the two of them are not really in the running. So now we move over to Leslie. He says he finds himself thinking about her and laughing, and he wants her to know that.
No, he said he finds himself waking up in the middle of the night laughing about her. It's really intense.
Oh, man.
It's almost seems creepy.
The meanest bachelor.
The mean, he's like,
oh, Andy, that's no, so creepy.
Sorry.
Reminds me of your smile that didn't reach your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to
do
that again for everyone?
No, I don't. Creeps me out, too.
Yeah.
By the way, is there anything creepier than laughter in the middle of the night when you don't know where it's coming from?
Oh.
Not the kind of boy, like a party laughter, like one person laughing without anyone with them.
Oh, like cackling?
Yeah.
No, it was sinister.
Isn't it funny how the happiest things are always the scariest things? Like a clown.
Yes.
Always scary. Uh-huh. A little kid in the wrong place. Like a little girl dressed up in a nice little skirt with a lollipop in the wrong place.
Oh.
The scariest thing.
Yes. Yeah.
A kitten is never scary, though. It's always good.
A kitten?
Yeah, I was just thinking that doesn't work for everything. A kitten is always good. Doesn't matter where it is. It always makes me feel better.
Okay. Should we ask the Shandys to come up with a scenario where a kitten is a scary thing?
I would appreciate it. But the one I thought of was I just wake up in the middle of the night and I go to like, you know, pee or something. And there's just a kitten. And I'm like, I know I don't have a kitten. And I know a kitten couldn't have gotten in here. Everything's closed.
Yeah,
I would still be psyched.
Oh, you would be so psyched.
Yeah, even if it was a ghost kitten. I'd be like, I don't care. I don't care if it's a living dead kitten. If there's a kitten, like I'm happy.
What if it's a dead kitten?
No, I don't want a dead kitten.
Okay, let's say you wake up in the middle of the night and you open your eyes and a kitten is on your chest just staring at you.
I'd be psyched. I'd be like, am I dreaming?
Okay, so Leslie reveals that she's been having a hard time hearing about the other dates because she's been cheated on many times. And she starts to cry here and he holds her and he says, it's okay. I gotcha.
Oh, God, so much. She's holding so many people up.
She says she's crazy about him. He says he felt such joy with her on their date and he felt protective of her because they talk about how she felt a little uneasy going so fast because he's chivalrous, Andy. He notices when she's left behind in the dust.
Don't have time for it.
He slows down. He stops. He lets her go in front. And they hug it out here. And she says, I'm falling in love with you. And he responds by whispering, you're my girl.
You're my girl.
I mean.
What does that mean?
You're my girl.
You're my girl. What is that? What else does that mean other than you're my girl?
I don't know how to take this one other than to think that Leslie's going to win.
I will tell you something. All right. You want some Inception level analysis here?
Oh, yeah.
Production wouldn't have subtitled that because we couldn't really hear it.
Oh.
They would have just let it go as like, oh, I don't know what she said. Because if she's going to win, they don't want you to hear that.
I mean, wow, Andy, you are officially a recapper.
I'm a recapper.
How does that make you feel?
Not good.
Don't you wish you had that brain power being used for something else?
You know, it's okay. It's okay. I'm doing good, right? I'm doing God's
No, you're
work.
Great. I mean, you're making a really good point. I can't unhear you're my girl. You're my girl. If a guy said that to me, I'd be like, I'm winning.
Yeah, but when she wins, and everyone's going to be like, he said she was my girl. So yeah, we saw it coming. I don't think production wants that.
But then if he said you're my girl and he doesn't pick her, then that's really mean.
But I already established that he might be really mean.
Okay, so now we have Ellen one-on-one time. They ride a roller coaster with an epic score in the background as her voiceover builds up to their conversation. I got to give this show props for music.
Ugh, unbelievable.
You know, when we watched Love is Blind, we made a lot of fun of the music.
Horrible.
A lot of times when I watch other shows, I'm like, wow, this music sucks. Yeah. The Bachelor, I don't notice the music. In fact, sometimes when I notice it, I'm like, wow, that's nice. We got to give credit where credit is due. It's good music, good scoring.
Can I tell you
attention
something?
Attention to detail.
Can I tell you something embarrassing?
What?
If it was a dollar and there was a soundtrack for The Bachelor, I would get it.
Like on Spotify?
No, iTunes, whatever.
It costs a dollar.
A dollar. I buy it. No question.
You know, I also would buy it.
Yeah.
And this is coming from people who, I mean, we listen to music.
Yeah. I like the music.
We're music people.
You are a professional musician of the highest level and you like this music.
I would buy.
Not only are you a professional musician, it's not like you're a pop singer. You're an opera singer and you like this music.
But that's an interesting point you're making, Andy. We would pay a dollar to listen to this score. Not all of it. But there's a couple of key tunes, especially there's like a sort of tinkly piano theme that they have once in a while on The Abnormal Bachelor. And certainly this, I would have wanted to listen to this without the text. I wanted to hear the actual music.
And you know what? I'd pay $2 to have it not ad interrupted.
Okay, so they talk and Ellen says she feels like a weight is off her shoulders when she's with him. They feel like a team. This landed with me.
She's going to have that weight back on soon.
Oh.
No, I don't want to spoil it. To spoil the thing that they already know.
I really feel this.
I don't know what's going on with Ellen. Like I don't know what happened here. Let's talk about it later.
She says she's falling in head over heels love with him.
Oh, God, Ellen.
And Andy, here you said, oh, no, he's overwhelmed.
He's overwhelmed.
You felt you saw it in his eyes.
I saw it. I saw the light go out.
He says he's touched. He feels it so much. And he goes to kiss her now, almost to
end it.
To end it, yes.
The kiss is a good way of shutting the mouth.
And you said, Andy, too long a night. Gary is tuckered. I'm just distraught by this.
Me too.
But we'll keep going for now. Ellen,
I'm questioning everything I've ever thought about Gary.
Ellen in her ITM cries, and it feels major coming from her because typically Ellen is our cool cucumber among the ladies.
She broke.
Yeah, she seems like she doesn't crack easily. She doesn't fall in love easily. And she doesn't let other people's dates like get to her easily. Mm-hmm, yeah. And this is where we start to see her unravel. There's a very touching moment that a hidden camera caught of her crying to Susan, and Susan is comforting her and touching her head.
It was a bad time for her to finally let it go.
You think?
No, I mean, she's finally really taken it all in and she's there. And guys, this is where it becomes not funny. I'm not happy about what happened with
Ellen. Yeah, we just love Ellen so much. She's really...
It's not funny.
Ellen is the most relatable to me. Everything Ellen says, like her attitude about things, even her little accent.
She earned it.
Yes. She earned it. She earned winning.
Yeah, that's it. Gary has to pick her. No choice.
Gary returns to the group. He seems to be on the verge of handing out a group date rose. And then he's like, I can't. I can't do it. He puts the rose back down. He's like, I'll give out two roses at the rose ceremony. I can't do it. Do you think that he was given permission to do this?
You know, I honestly think he was so tired. He couldn't handle it. Like he was like, I can't do anything that's going to be emotional. I got to go to sleep. Like this is insane.
Yeah.
Like I just go into the amusement park just for myself, just alone. It's tiring enough.
Okay, so now we have our rose ceremony. Getting roses are Leslie first.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's not unpredictable.
Jesse arrives to say this is the last rose. I have to point out that I like his suit.
Yeah, you were talking about his suit a lot. You like that brown on brown.
A chocolate brown suit with a matching tie. I just loved this.
You know what's so funny about that? If the dimensions of the suit and the tie are different, it becomes the tackiest 70s outfit.
Oh, it becomes dated, but it just fit him. It was the perfect
fit.
Yeah, fit.
Fit.
Do you know that fit is now a word for outfit? You're like, oh, I like your fit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you find that out?
Sort of accidentally. And I've tried to use it and then I feel like a loser. And so I tried it once and then I stopped.
You know what I think? I think a fit is actually a really well-used word amongst the younger folks. I think this may be the oldest moment you've ever had. Yeah.
It's the beginning
of
the end.
It's okay. Yeah, it's fine. Embrace it.
You know what's wrong with saying outfit? Outfit.
This is the second oldest moment you've ever had.
Well, you might be finding yourself in a brown suit in the near future.
Okay,
that second rose goes to Teresa, and we are shook.
I mean, a top three shook rose ceremony moment for me,
Andy,
of all time.
Well, Andy, at the time you screamed, what the f***? This actually happened. It was a loud what the fuck in this apartment.
It was loud. It was late too.
Yeah, which means that going home, Sandra, Susan, and Ellen. So we have to talk about Ellen for a moment. We are out to lunch. We're on a different planet. We don't know how to recap this show. We know how to recap. We don't know how to predict.
I don't know what's going
Golden
on.
Golden Bachelor. Everything's different. Everything's topsy-turvy, upside down.
But we were on a roll for a while. We were good. We were predicting it pretty well.
I'm going to say something. I feel that you skewed me with Ellen and I'm blaming you.
Wow.
Because from night one, I had faith in my top spot and you were so sure about Ellen all the way that I was like, oh my God, you know what it is? Because you're older, you're silver. You're closer to golden than me. I was like, the silver knows what golden is looking for. And you were wrong.
Well, you managed to make the weakest excuse ever for your wrong picks while at the same time insulting me. It was very impressive. I have to be honest with you. Like, Gary sold me on Ellen. Ellen sold me on Ellen, but Gary sold me on Ellen too. And now I'm starting to think that Gary can really phone it in if he wants.
I mean, just last week, Ellen sat him down and tearfully said that she was falling in love with him. And he said, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I mean, right there with you? Really?
I mean, look, this is the only benefit of the doubt I'm going to give Gary is that it may have been a coin toss between Teresa and Ellen. Like, he was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, he just flipped the coin.
Yeah, but
and
a
that
coin toss. You know what I think happened? I think that he really, really, really likes Ellen as a friend, and he didn't want to do that to her. Like, in terms of company, she's at the top.
Okay.
I mean, the one thing that really stuck with me is on the one-on-one date, he said that he can be most himself with her. And that went a very long way with me. I was like, oh, so I'm not totally blaming you, Andy.
Oh.
But yeah, he said he could be most himself with her. And I think that he respects her a lot and therefore didn't want to get her hopes up any higher. Didn't want to drag her along. Didn't want to do the whole thing.
Or, want to hear something crazy?
What?
Or is it possible that Gary knows this is a sham more than anyone and he doesn't want to be with anyone on this show and he doesn't want to pick the person who he really likes to be with him knowing that it's going to be a sham regardless?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's got a girl back home. He's just waiting.
A girl back home.
He's got some broad back home.
So Gary says bye to Sandra and Susan, but he walks Ellen out. He says hers was the most difficult decision. I mean, I should hope so. And he did everything he could to make the right decision. He hopes she stays positive because that's who she is. She gives him a big hug here, avoids eye contact, and says, okay,
she's
I gotta
pissed.
Go.
She's rightfully pissed.
Such a classy exit, though. I love she doesn't rake him over the coals. She's not like, how could you do this to me, blah, blah, blah. When she realizes that she's on the verge of breaking down, she gives him a hug. She's like, okay, I've gotta go.
Yeah.
She's not happy.
She is pissed.
Yeah. And Andy, you called this the biggest surprise that you can ever remember on this show.
I stand by that.
In her exit interview, Ellen says it was a shock. She didn't see it coming, but this has been one of the best experiences of her life.
She's going to do well. She's going to get hit up. A lot of people sliding into Ellen's DMs right now.
I hope so, because I think Ellen is such a catch. She is just magnificent.
Absolutely.
She's gonna so get fun it. And cool.
Yeah, she's going to get it.
I mean, I'm so shocked.
I'm shocked.
I don't have an issue with being wrong. I just like really, really like Ellen and him together.
I was so sure it was Ellen that I was starting to lose interest in Susan.
Yes. I loved him and Ellen together so much that I like watching with other people. I'm like, yeah, but it's not as good as him with Ellen.
Yeah.
It was like that level.
Yeah. Wild.
Okay. So now we have our credits. The ladies are having a group hug before the rose ceremony. And Susan is saying, stay out of my boobs.
Susan. She's a good one.
Susan, she's a star.
She's really grown on me.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Not that I didn't like her at
first.
I'm just saying she's grown from me being indifferent to me being like, I like Susan.
Like, I want to watch a spinoff with Susan.
Yeah.
Susan
and
Sandra.
She's got star appeal.
Okay. So Andy, that brings us to your A game already. Who's your winner?
In defeat, Ellen.
I mean, how could she have handled this any better? If she had handled this better, then I would not believe that she had fallen for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She had max class in her defeat and in how she handled it, and also max hurt.
Yeah.
The hurt to suggest that she really had fallen for him.
Oh, yeah. She could have completely melted down. She could have been vindictive. Just pure class from beginning to end. Ellen just, I'm very disappointed.
Me too.
We are both very
distraught.
Disappointed.
Okay, so that brings us, Andy, to our word watch. There was one husband in a sad context.
And 103 correct guesses.
Ooh, That's pretty good.
No, that's a good number.
Okay.
And our winner is Min Wang 2274. Congratulations. You are a huge winner of an AG1 prize package valued at a massive $200. Ooh. Congratulations. Please email us by this Monday at midnight to claim your prize. And Andy, do you have a word in mind for next week?
I do have a word. It's funny you ask. And that word is knee.
Knee?
Knee.
K-N-E-E?
Correct.
Is there any
as opposed to what?
There's no other knee, is
there? There is actually in the quest for the Holy Grail, the knights who say knee.
How is it
but
spelled?
I think that's spelled N-I.
Okay.
It just makes no sense what I'm saying. Okay. It's no other word
so
than knee.
You're expecting some sort of get down on one knee situation.
Obviously.
Okay.
Or it could be I bumped my knee.
Okay.
I hurt my knee.
All right. So if you would like to join in the Shandy Word Watch Fun and have a chance to win a prize, then you can guess the number of times you predict the word knee will be uttered in episode 6, which is Hometown Week. You must do so using the numeral of the number of times, and you must do so by this Monday at midnight. And if you guess correctly, you will be entered in a draw, and then one name will be plucked, and that person will win. We are back to our classic prize, Andy. Mm-hmm. This is our timeless prize. $100 to spend at Furano Studio, which is one of my all-time favorite Etsy shops. Quite literally, all of my rings are from there.
And your necklace.
Both the dainty and the chunky. Yes, my necklace too. I love her stuff. So yeah, you can win $100 in jewelry.
Why not?
Why not?
We're listening to a recap podcast.
Okay, Andy, that brings us to our predictions. Who do you have in your top spot?
Oh, this is brutal because
I'm literally switching my stuff around right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have no idea. I got to be honest with you. He's thrown me. The Ellen thing threw me to the point where now I'm just, it's a complete blindfolded pin the tail on the donkey.
Yes.
I guess all pin the tail on the donkey is blindfolded. So
yes.
It's pin the tail on the donkey.
Yes.
And I'm pinning that tail on Teresa.
Okay. How come?
Because that diner date still resonates with me. I feel like there was something really heavy there. And you know what? Honestly, this is what else I think. I don't think Teresa is that kind of blabber that people now think she is. I actually think she's saying it, but she's very honest. And I think she knows she's it.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Okay. I mean, when I look back, that was the one-on-one date that made me cry.
I cried too.
Yeah. Yeah, you really did cry.
Yeah, I don't cry very often. No. I did cry in WALL-E, the Pixar movie, by myself. It was daytime, too. There's a bunch of kids around.
I cried in Inside Out. Pixar.
I mean, who doesn't cry in Inside Out?
I mean, those movies
are
designed.
I cried at that, too.
They're designed to do that.
Yeah.
Literally, they're like, how can
it's
we tug
formula.
On the heartstrings?
It's a chemical formula.
Yes. Those bastards. Okay, so in my top spot, I have Leslie. And the reason is I cannot get past you're my girl. I just don't think, I think if Gary says you're my girl to someone who he's not feeling you're my girl about, he's mean. He's a mean bachelor.
What about all the stuff he said to Ellen? He didn't say you're my girl, but he said a lot of things would make you think that she was his girl.
He said, I'm right there with you. I agree, but
You're my girl. The whispering of you're my girl.
Whispered in her ear, like the mic wasn't even supposed to catch
that. Yeah, but the choice to show the subtitle, to me, that's the giveaway. They want you to think that. You're falling for it.
I just feel like Leslie, maybe I am falling for it. I just feel like Leslie, she's been a consistent fixture all season. I don't know. The you're my girl. I'm done with you're my girl.
I can't fight you on it, but I'm in the dark.
Yeah, we both are. Okay, so who do you have in your second spot?
Kathy. Sorry. She's coming back. No, whatever her name is. Faith.
All right. That one-on-one date sold you.
Yeah, it's the first impression, Rose.
You know, I also have Faith in my second place.
Okay.
I just feel like we have been led astray by the edit. Which is to say, like, I think the edit has done Faith zero favors, in fact. I think that if anything, they've made us like Faith the least, which is, I mean, even to say the least, I have to always qualify that because I like Faith a lot. It's just in the hierarchy of all these very likable women, I think Faith has just been the only one to show anything slightly unflattering here and there.
I agree
other than
with
like
you.
Kathy
I agree
and
with
Teresa.
You.
But.
Well, Teresa was blabbing.
But I have to assume there's something there that we're just not seeing and that we just haven't been shown. No. I think Faith is definitely top two.
I'm put it this way. I'm extremely torn between Faith and Teresa for top.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. You really, really don't see it with Leslie.
It's incredible. From the beginning, you're like, not Leslie. It's not Leslie. What, can you try to explain that? Because I assume Leslie is your third.
Leslie's my third.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one person left.
Yeah, I know. I feel like Gary wants something. God, this is tough. I feel like Gary just wants something a little more stable and predictable. I feel like Leslie's a bit of a wild card for Gary, although he's got the tattoo.
He does.
So he may have this hippie past I don't know about, but I think that I just don't see it with Leslie.
I think that Leslie, though, she has a frailty to her that I can see Gary really being drawn to.
Damsel in distress.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And, you know, she's able to cry to him and it opens him up. He's not one of those men who's like, oh, you're crying. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of guys like that out there, especially of an older generation.
Sure, I agree.
You know, instead he's like, oh no, I got you. Like I'm warming up to you because you've opened up to me with those tears.
Can I just make a statement here? I think we can devil's advocate any one of these
three.
I think we don't know what the hell we're talking about. I have no clue.
Yeah. So in my third spot, I have Teresa, mainly because I felt that when she was pouring her heart out to him, he just looked overwhelmed. I didn't see the face of a man who's like, yes, she feels the same way as me.
Hmm.
I saw a man who was like, it's past my bedtime.
But it could be both.
Wait, how could it be both?
He could be really into her and also pass his bedtime.
Okay, so she's still your top. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really into you and there are times when I just want to go to sleep.
I'm like, I love you. You're like,
Yeah, we'll get that tomorrow.
Okay, well, Andy, we are just so discombobulated.
Yeah. Thrown.
Shook. Yes, the season. I don't even know what to do. You know, maybe with more data, like down the road, we'll be better at this.
Yeah.
But I feel just like I don't even know what is up from down. I kind of like it, honestly.
Yeah, it makes it exciting.
Yeah, it's fun watching a season where I don't know what is happening. Even though I got to say, Gary, he might be the meanest bachelor. You might be right.
Yeah.
Can
the
you
biggest
imagine?
Twist of all.
You're my girl. Ha ha ha. It's not you.
The devil doesn't wear a red, what is it? A red cape with horns? Horns. You got the point.
But he can choose whether or not to show his horns.
Right. He doesn't have to come along looking like the devil.
Oh.
I'm really, really.
Wow. Gary's really taking a turn for us.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Wow.
We went from saying he's AI perfection.
Yeah, he's like Hannibal Lecter now.
Okay, that's a wrap. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok.
Leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews. Tell your friends and generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye. Dear Shandy. Dun 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 d